Hi, you're listening to Mock the Bleak,
the podcast where I, Dom,
and I, Kitty,
discuss some of the bleakest, darkest topics
or times in our lives,
and essentially aim to uplift through education, humour,
and a lot of oversharing, most likely from me. Hello.
Hello.
So we're back again, continuing the Seven Deadly Sins series, or the Seven Cardinal Sins.
And for the forgetful or the virtuous, those seven deadly sins in no particular order are pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. Last episode we covered lust, but this week we are taking a bite out of gluttony. If none of you could hear the huge eye roll at that pun, then...
Yeah, it was audible.
Yes.
Just the sound of my eyebrow hitting the ceiling. So gluttony means overindulgence and overconsumption, really. Not just of food, though, which threw me through a loop a little bit. It's a drink, and it can be associated with the need for status symbols. It's basically just any kind of indulgence. And it floats into the idea, and the reason why it is a sin is because it's the idea that if you consume or take in more resources than you need, you're essentially taking them away, or you can be taking them away from someone else who is in need. It's that kind of balance there. I couldn't really get my head around the two initially, because I realised as I was kind of looking this up that greed is also one of the seven deadly sins, and I immediately would associate being greedy not just with money, but with food as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you love your food, you're a greedy person. You know, there's that phrase, greedy pig, about people who like to eat. But actually, the need for food and the enjoyment in food and the indulgence in food and drink are in gluttony's camp, totally. So in order to kind of help people understand the difference, because I had to literally think of these examples to understand, so I hope no one thinks I'm being patronising. Most of you might already know the difference, but I fucking didn't. So for my fellow idiots out here, here's basically an idiot's guide to the difference between gluttony and greed. So in terms of gluttony, you had the ancient Greeks. So the ancient Greeks, it was a time of indulgence, it was a time of art, it was a time of passion, and it was also a time for feasting and booze and just wanton sex and, oh God, you know, to be a fly on the wall in those times. But it's interesting about their feasting habits in particular. There would be, for some of the bigger feasts, for more of the wealthier kind of upper class people, there'd be a corner of the room that was dedicated to vomiting. And they would go to that corner of the room, throw up everything that they'd eaten, everything that they'd drank for the first half of the feast, go and sit back down and carry on feasting.
I imagine there were a lot of flies on the wall.
So that's the idea of a glutton. It's, you know, indulging to excess with food or booze. The difference of greed is put forward really well, I think, in the character of Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol. Where, you know, is one, he's a fucking miserable twat, but two, he never has a day off. He's, because he'd have to part with his money, or technically have a day off from earning money by letting his staff have a holiday. So he works alongside them every single day to watch them, and they sit in a freezing cold office because he can't be asked to pay for extra coal, even though he's good for it, because that would mean parting with money. And that is the idea of greed, where you don't care if you're miserable, you just, all you care about is accumulating wealth, even to your own detriment, I can imagine. Yeah. But we're going to go into greed later on in the series. For now, we're going to focus on gluttony.
Yes, and gluttony itself has five distinct subcategories, as put forward by St. Thomas Aquinas.
And you like that guy.
I love my medieval theologians and medieval saints. So this is kind of like the power rangers of gluttony. Like, there's one big... collectively, they're the power rangers, but five different types of gluttony exist.
All right.
And those five are, with fancy Latin names and everything, Laute, eating food that is too expensive or exotic. Studios, eating food that is too excessive in quality, as in someone spent far too long preparing it.
Or would you say it's like just really high quality food? Like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
I'd say molecular gastronomy is probably the definition of studios.
I get it. I was just thinking like a good steak, but then I realise I'm a fucking peasant.
And then the third one is nimi, which is eating too much food. I think that's the, like,
that's the archetypal. That's the archetypal. Like, gluttony, yeah.
Prepare, which is eating too quickly or an inappropriate time.
That's you.
I do eat very quickly. I'm like a snake. I dislocate my jaw and just insert.
You just insert food. It's like, you know, Pingu, where he like opens his mouth, fish goes in, seconds later, bones come out.
Yes.
That's you.
I do eat like a bird.
You eat like a fucking snake. You were right the first time. Just attach that jaw and lay waste to the plate.
And eating it, I found eating at I found eating at an inappropriate time.
That's me.
Midnight snack.
You know what? I'm fucking weird, and I don't know whether it's because I literally have like a binge eating disorder, or whether I'm just attributing my own shit to that. But literally, oh, I'm probably getting a bit deep too quickly. Ah, well, whatever. I hate having normal breakfast. You know, when you have a Chinese takeaway and you've got your leftovers.
Yeah.
I used to get thrills off eating that for breakfast. Like, ooh, what a rebel I am. Look how amazing this is. Because I just enjoyed it more. And you know what's even weirder?
What?
Breakfast for dinner. It's really nice. Britta.
It's not the same.
No, but it is. But no, it's better. You're right, it's not the same. It's better.
No,
it is 100% better. I'm sorry. No. I think I just disagree with, like, food rules in general. Like, I love nothing more than having dessert before dinner. Because I'm one of those annoying people where if I have something sweet, I want something savoury afterwards. And then when I have something savoury, I want something sweet. And it's a never-ending fucking cycle. Whereas if I break that and I surprise myself and have something sweet first, then I have something savoury and I'm happy.
Ah.
I don't know. I think I'm just a freak, Dom. I think that's what it is, to be honest.
Well, moving on. the final fifth category of gluttony is ardente, which is eating too eagerly.
That's also you.
Yes. So you can't...
What do you mean eating too eagerly?
So if you're really like, oh, I'm so excited for this food, I'm so happy.
Oh, so is that actually eating too eagerly? It's being excited about impending food?
Yes, and like being like really excited at the thought of eating or the idea of eating or even being
excited. So everybody before every meal ever is guilty of this?
So if you... pretty much according to this, if you have eaten food and enjoyed it at any point, then you've committed a sin.
This is impossible as well, because Sir Thomas Aquinas was in a time where there were actual peasants, like full on poverty. I mean, not that there isn't now. Not peasants, oh my God, no, I meant in terms of not that there isn't poverty now, but there was a lot of poverty then. Like, the vast majority of people were in poverty.
It's like the vast majority of people would have been subsistence farmers, just or like literally living from crop to crop.
Exactly. So the idea of being used to being hungry or in a perpetual state of hunger is not, you know, wouldn't have been unusual for them. They would have experienced hunger. So the idea that you're telling these people who are in experiencing poverty to go, oh, but you can't be excited about a meal. You can't enjoy a meal. That's a sin.
Well, I think a lot of this was...
It's unreal. It's just fucking bonkers,
I think, isn't it? A lot of these rules were intended to be read by other monks and priests, like the only other people who could fucking read. Because monks were known to be terrible for just feasting and drinking.
Yeah.
Like, they had a loophole that monks couldn't eat meat. They had to live a vegetarian lifestyle, but they could eat fish. So they began to extend...
Pescatarians.
They were pescatarians, but they managed to extend the definition of fish to anything that lived in water.
That's like... they were eating duck, weren't they?
They could eat duck, geese, they even ate, like... Well, back in medieval Britain, they had beavers and things like that.
What the fuck? Well, it's interesting hearing that, and, like, obviously, I think that kind of furthers on my next point. So while I was looking up kind of sources and some kind of information on gluttony and historical gluttony in particular, I came across this painting that's called The Temperate and the Intemperate. So what you might not know, because we haven't said it yet, is that for every vice, the seven deadly sins, so for all seven vices, there is a virtue, which is the polar opposite of it, that can essentially work as like a cancelling out. So for example, if you've done a sin, you could do the virtue and it would cancel it out. In lust's example, because we did that last week, it's chastity. So you can counteract lust with chastity. In this example, you can counteract gluttony with temperance. And temperance is the idea, and it's an interesting one. It ties ideas of dignity with it as well. So if you're a temperate person, you have, you know, you have self-esteem, you have dignity, you are withholding, you are above reproach, very kind of nose in the air, bollocks.
Yeah, well, it's and like that's, a, sorry to interrupt, but it's like the Temperance Society in the US before Prohibition. Well, for the women, one of the slogans said it was like, lips that touch liquor shall never touch mine. That kind of attitude of being holier than now by depriving yourself of pleasure.
But it is literally holier than now, because you're saying that the people that gave into gluttony, and this is where I'm going to further my point in a second, it ties into a class divide, because it's like, if you give into gluttony, you're scum. And as I was saying, this painting, The Temperate and the Intemperate, it was painted in the 15th century by some anonymous guy that was just called the Master of the Dresden Prayer Book. Very metal. And it basically, yeah, and you can look it up, Google it, but I'm going to describe it anyway. So it's like two bunches of people that are in the same kind of banquet hall. And the people at the very front of the painting are the kind of rowdy rabble, dressed very simply. They're all pissed. Half of them are like on the floor. They're all drinking. Their food is all over the place. There's even a dog in the picture that's looking at them like, oh, the fuck. Like, they're all a bit of a mess. And there's people in like quite fancy, you can tell distinguishably fancier clothes, pointing at them. And then behind, just in the back of the painting, there's a family of less people around the exact same table, eating the exact same meal, but it's all very neat and they're all sat very still. They're not like on the floor like this first group of people. And they're all sat very still, and only one of them has a cup in their hand, whereas all the others is like booze and shit everywhere. Only one has a cup in their hand, and they look fucking miserable, to be honest. But it's that idea of that temperance, that you've got restraint and you're holier, literally holier than these fucking scumbags who dare to enjoy their food.
The other table sounds a lot more fun.
And it is, but it is just the idea. And it, you know what, stuff like that is still around today, though. It's that idea of like, oh, I don't even know how to describe it, you know. It's just that idea that like sobriety and restraint is a sign of your class, and that if you are indulgent, say, I'm just trying to think of an example, to be honest, I can't think of one. All I've got in my head is fur coat and knickers, which is not the right one. That's how I would describe me. But it's the idea that, you know, if you're indulgent, then you're common. And to kind of seem above reproach is an indicator of your class.
I think I can think of an example of that. It's another historical one. It's another comparison piece art in the very niche genre of comparison piece art related to alcohol. And it is William Hogarth's 18th century engravings titled Gin Lane and Beer Street.
Right.
And basically, during the 18th century, there was a massive craze for gin in the UK. It became really popular with working class people.
Mother's Ruin.
Yep, there were people selling stills everywhere. And it became a big moral panic about basically working class people becoming just absolute alcoholic wrecks, which never really happened, like most moral panics. And Gin Lane shows like a street in ruins.
I've seen that.
There's mobs roaming the street. There's drunken women dropping babies down flights of stairs. There's men starving to death in the gutter because they spent all the money on drink. The only shop that's in any good condition is the pawnbrokers. And that's contrasted with Beer Street, which is very nice, very pleasant, and full of well-to-do men sat around tables drinking beer.
Like, drink your beer was safer than drinking water.
Yeah,
then,
anyway. 100%, and it was a
harder
lot weaker.
To drink to excess, wasn't it?
It's a lot weaker than it is now. It would have been like 2%, like just table beer.
And it, I bet it would have been mostly men as well there. Did you say it was mostly men?
It was all men sat around.
Yeah, yeah.
With the women serving them.
Oh, of course it was.
But the gin was seen as something like, oh, poor people, it's very... drinking like this spirit that's associated with welfare.
How weird is it though that there's like a huge gin resurgence now?
I know.
And that it's like a fancy drink now.
I'm more of a Prosecco girl, but
I mean, you're a Lamborghini girl, hun. Yes. But no, isn't it weird how
it
history
is.
Works?
Well, it's like there used to be these bars called gin palaces, which were these beautiful, opulent bars where you'd go and drink gin.
Whenabouts was this in history?
18th century.
All right.
But they were haters because it's this idea that they're designed to entrap people in. Like, oh, all these working class people will be absolutely bedazzled and start drinking when they should be dying in wars, working in factories or making babies.
That's it. It's that thing again though. It's like, how dare you enjoy yourself?
Yeah.
How dare you spend whatever hard-earned money you have on things and then enjoy
In Victorian pubs for working class people, like if you go into like any Victorian pub, there's usually like loads of mirrors on the wall and it's really nice inside. Temperance movements hated that because they thought it would again just bedazzle people into becoming drunks.
You know what's really funny?
What?
I actually have a tattoo that says the word temperance in it. Do you want to know the story behind it? It's really quick.
Yes.
So, historically, fucking hell, in my lifetime, yes. My family basically ran pubs in Manchester. And my grandma told me that whenever she used to do a cheers or a toast, whatever, I hate saying toast, it sounds really posh, but you know what I mean. Whenever she used to do a cheers, they used to say, sarcastically obviously, success to temperance, just before they all got pissed. And because my granddad, who I only met a couple of times before he died, I was a baby, his birthday was Halloween, and they used to have big Halloween parties. And our friend Al Torres, who is a tattoo artist in Leeds, sorry, this is really convoluted, I promise it'll all make sense in a sec. Our friend Al Torres in Leeds had a tattoo design of a skeleton sat on a pumpkin drinking from a kind of rocks glass. So I got that tattooed on me, but I said to her, can you put success to temperance underneath it? And it's fucking awesome.
It is
fucking nice. Sorry, I just wanted to drop that
that's
in there.
Good. We do have temperance to thank for one thing.
What?
Vimto. Obviously.
I don't fucking like Vimto, so of course the origin of such an unpleasant drink was an unpleasant movement.
People who... You don't like Vimto?
I fucking
not
hate
even
Vimto.
Fizzy Vimto.
What, like in a can?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's great. You're missing out.
No. I like a cheeky Vimto. Do you know what that is?
I thought it's port and wicked.
Do you know what? It's port and wicked, but do you know what I thought it was?
What?
I thought you just, instead of putting water in a Vimto, because it's cordial, you just put vodka in it.
A pint of vodka with a bit of cordial.
No, you wouldn't have a pint of it though, obviously. You'd have just a normal glass, put the same amount of cordial that you would that you would have put water in, but instead of water, you put vodka in it. I did that a few times, and I tell you what, I don't even like Vimto. It's not bad. It isn't bad.
I think the vodka compensates for your dislike of the taste of Vimto.
I mean, you can't taste the Vimto because of the just straight up vodka stripping the entirety of your throat.
I want a cheeky Vimto.
No, you're not having a fucking cheeky Vimto. I'm not being seen purchasing WKD. But moving on. Well, actually, I don't know, actually. Talking about the whole idea of how you can't enjoy yourself, we'll talk about the punishment for gluttony. Which in Dante's Inferno, from the Divine Comedy, the third circle of hell is where all of the gluttons were trapped, and they were trapped in a deep, like, smelly bog, and there's eternal rain, like huge hailstones, sleet and slush, the fucking works, it's horrible, and they are literally trapped in mud that they're like wading through. I don't really get how that links to gluttony, I've got to say.
To me, I always interpret it as reading as, and I think it's implied as, it's the waste they created in their lives.
So they're wallowing
in like a pool of like
shit.
Piss, basically.
Well, I read an idea that it's because you associate a glutton with like being a piggy, like piggish habits. And obviously pigs usually in their natural fucking habitat, yeah, float about. What, well, they don't float, do they? Sorry, that's the wrong phrase. They slosh about in a pig pen, which is usually, yeah, just full of mud because they like it.
Yeah.
And that's how it seems to me. Like that. But the other thing is that they are tormented slash guarded by Cerberus. So Cerberus is a three-headed hellhound that guards the underworld in Greek mythology. Again, I don't personally understand, unless it's three heads and it's shown as a sign of the actual act of eating, like three heads, three mouths.
I imagine it, with it being Dante, it's probably some very, very obscure reference to someone who was incredibly relevant at the time in Florence or something like that.
Yeah.
But interesting fact about pigs, do you know how to roll around in mud?
Why?
To keep cool.
Oh yeah, they don't have sweat glands.
They don't have sweat glands.
Cool.
Hey presto, there you go.
But yeah, I'm just trying to look at what else I've got, really. I can't think of anything else in terms of sources.
One of the penances I found for gluttony, which was the traditional one, was fasting.
Oh yeah, when so you like have to show penance.
Abstaining from food.
See, I saw one and it was about, it was like one of them Middle Ages things where everything was horrible and it was awful. Is that if someone was a glutton, and I haven't fact checked this, I've just seen it as like a punishment for being a glutton, you were forced to eat like rats and toads and stuff, and people would just sit and make you eat it. But I don't quite know how that would happen.
I don't think that would
happen. I mean, that was like a Reddit kind of answer, so yeah. I don't think it's real, but imagine. Imagine if it was. I tell you what is the greediest thing you've ever done? Not greediest, sorry, the most...
Gluttonous.
Yes, fucking hell. Corrections corner. What was the most gluttonous that you ever were? I can already think of mine. If you need a minute, I will tell you mine.
I need a minute.
I'm not ashamed of anything I've done, just for context. But I feel like I will have done something more greedy. And this isn't the indulgence, and it's not the quantity I ate. It's just imagine yourself watching me do this and the repulsion that you would have felt, right? Picture this. You're in Nando's.
Which one?
It doesn't fucking matter. You're in Nando's. You walk past the table. There is a big titty goth, me, sat at a table with their normal, like, butterfly chicken wrap or whatever,
yeah,
with chips and mash. And I used the mash as almost like a condiment for my chips, dipping it in.
That's...
And then eating it.
See,
with that garlic drizzle shit.
See, that just sounds like too much carbs for me.
No. It's gluttony. It's indulgence. It's a love letter to a potato. That was what that was. It was poetry, mate. Poetry. But that is that when I first like started looking at gluttony, I was thinking, what is the fucking worst, like most gluttonous thing that I've done? That was the first one. Because everybody's done stupid shit, like you eat too many sweets at like Easter or Christmas and make, yeah, yourself sick. Everybody, you drink too much of a weekend and make yourself sick. But that, just imagine yourself walking past and seeing that.
You know what? I've seen worse than that does. I think you'd get off quite lightly. I don't think you'd be going into the pit of poo in hell. But I can't think of any... Because I'm just very gluttonous. I do eat... I love eating. I love drinking. So I think I'm damned no matter what I do. I can't think of any specific time.
I mean, we're both gay as fuck, so we are technically damned anyway. I think we'll be in Sodomite's Corner, wherever that is. Oh, we'll be with the Lusty, won't we? Oh, we're fine. Getting blown about by a wind, we'll be fucking ace. But yeah, so that was essentially the gluttons. I can't think of anything else to say about them, really, apart from they've just got a bad rep. I guess we could talk about something relatively serious, if you wanted
to. I'd just like to just say first that I think gluttony is very similar to lust, as they're both very...
Well, it's indulgence, isn't it?
Sensual, not in an erotic sense, unless that floats your boat, you know, but it's like, it's something you can touch, taste, smell.
It's very visceral, isn't it?
Yeah, visceral. Yeah. It's like lust, and I think that's, you know, it's like, it's also something that you need to exist, it's food, and as soon as you start introducing
rules with food. You don't need lust or
you need food to exist, like gluttony. Yeah. But once you start making all these rules about it, I think that's where the danger begins to...
That's what I think. Yeah, I get that. Mm. And it's another one of those things, and it is similar to lust. And I think what... I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what I interpreted from what you just said was they're similar in the sense that there's stupid, pointless rules put on perfectly ordinary things.
Yeah.
Like attraction and the... Attraction and eating are two very natural but also very necessary pleasures in life. Yeah. They're very basic and they're something that you can pretty much experience every day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even if you're a single person and you walk down the street, you know, if you're interacting with other people, even if it's just an endearment thing, there is attraction everywhere. There is, you know, looking at somebody and thinking, oh, you're very pretty, whatever.
Yeah.
And similarly with food, the idea that people are being penalised, whether it's in the time where there was loads of poverty or now where it's, you know, less, it still exists, but it's less. We are still kind of tortured and told that, you know, if you can enjoy things, but you can't enjoy it too much because that's bad. And it's not. And it, like, from going through, like, my binge eating disorder, and I'm getting serious, this is happening.
It's okay.
Like, going through my binge eating disorder, realising that I had one first was a huge fucking thing. Because when you think of eating disorders, naturally, it's not natural to do this, because eating disorders comes in all shapes. The people that have eating disorders come in all shapes and sizes. But the assumption there is skinny, and the assumption is the two most well known, which are bulimia and anorexia. You don't think, when you think of eating disorders, the general person does not think of an overweight person. You just don't. And it's interesting because obviously with how horrible the world is towards fat people and plus size people, and I mentioned this last week, so I don't want to go into it too much, but with how horrible the world is to fat people and how the amount of triggering things that you get told, you would think that, you know, fat people would have maybe more eating disorders. There's more pressure for us to lose weight. There's more pressure for us to change who we are.
Definitely.
And what we look like. But what I mean to say, instead of going really deep and talking about eating, because I did last week, is the idea of being told that experiencing any kind of pleasure or enjoyment, those days are fucking gone now. Don't let anyone tell you what to or what to not enjoy. Don't let people use this whole bullshit idea of health over your head either. Like, it's not up to someone else to tell you what to do, what you put in your mouth, in any context. But what I'm trying to say is that these are outdated concepts, the idea that somehow enjoyment is linked with sin, but we are still plagued with them. We still carry it around in some kind of context, and people are desperate to put their shit on others. So try your best not to let people put their shit on you.
So I definitely feel like there is, I don't know if anyone else gets bombarded with, like, Instagram, like, adverts for, like, food plans and meal prep and gym bullshit, but I feel like there's a group... Some people view food... Basically, some people view their bodies as factories, and you can only put into the factory what is the most efficient. Like, everything you eat has to be maximised for, like, efficiency.
Like, they eat as fuel. It's purely fuel.
It's not as enjoyment, and it's just miserable way to exist.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, there's an extreme way to your other side where... And I get this with binge eating a lot, where some days... You know, it seems like your only enjoyment comes from food, or your only comfort, because that's where my binge eating comes from. It's a comfort thing. Is some days when it's particularly dark and, you know, you're feeling a bit depressed, and some days the only comfort that you can derive from is food. That's not okay, because that's a crutch. And that's when you need to kind of evaluate yourself, but not from a weight perspective. It's from a, am I living my life well,
exactly,
am I happy perspective. And that's what I mean, where don't let anybody tell you not to enjoy things, because you're right, eating is visceral, it's exciting. You know, like, people say that Heston Blumenthal is a fucking knob, but I like him. And it's like, you know, you see these programs where he did, like, a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory thing, where we put, like...
You're gonna say Charlie's Angels?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
just think of Charlie's. Charlie.
Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore. Marry me, Drew Barrymore. No, no, he did. He said Charlie's Angels again. He did Charlie's Chocolate Factory. Is it Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Right, whatever. He did a fucking wall of edible wallpaper, and obviously he's filming it. It's a TV show, so he's watching. He's hiding in the kitchen, watching the guests like fuck around, licking the walls, and it just looks so fucking fun. And they're licking all the different colours, and they're exploring it, and they're, you know, getting their hands in and like ripping shit off the walls and breaking shit open. And it's just, food can be so, like we said earlier, it's so visceral, so exciting. And especially in times where half of these sources that we've gathered from like the fucking Middle Ages, where it was miserable,
yes,
life was terrible, right? All you could do, The three things that you could enjoy the most are fucking eating and drinking, and two of them are associated with gluttony. Like,
and the food was just, they didn't have
slop.
They didn't have potatoes.
What?
Medieval Britain, they didn't have potatoes.
What did we have?
Well, not potatoes. You'd have to.
I can't think of a life outside of potatoes. Did you not hear my Nando's story? Yeah. How will I live?
We'd be eating like lamprey and eel and just. Yeah, you wouldn't have any plates. You'd be eating out of a piece of stale bread.
No.
No forks. No. They were considered decadent. Forks were considered a decadent.
Fuck that. You know what? I'm sick of these high-end fucking mighty people now. This is doing my head in.
The whole attitude is, why do you need three prongs? Is one not good enough for you?
What, Mr. So just a stick?
Mr. High and fucking mighty. Look at you with your three prongs. We've just got one.
Oh, you're a fucking prong. Honestly, I can't, like, I guess us looking into gluttony and all the historical sources that we found, I say all, we found about two. I guess the ideas behind gluttony are just literally using it as a tool to judge people. And I think, I didn't know so much about kind of Christian-based, I don't know that much about Christian-based religions. Or religions that kind of stem from Christianity. I don't even know if I'm saying the right thing there. You know, I get probably about a million fucking hateful emails. But they, I know about Catholicism because I'm from a Catholic background. Well, I've got, you know, my family are Catholic. And it is, obviously, I knew it was all built on shame. I knew that everybody is a sinner immediately. You're born a sinner and you have to repent constantly and feel guilt and shame all the time. But when you see that people are just desperate to apply it to any kind of area where you get pleasure in your life, any kind of pleasure is seen as a negative. And I think we're going to find this going through these sins. Well, I know we are.
Yeah.
That it is just basically a list of all the different pleasures and how to suppress them.
It's only going to get more repressed from here.
It really is. You know, repression's the name, depression's the game.
Indeed.
So with that in mind, I think, have you got anything else to talk about?
No, I'm full. I'm done.
Oh my God.
So I started with a lame pun. I'll finish with one.
Right. Well, as we mentioned, we're doing this kind of spooky series in, like, well, coming up to Halloween. We haven't really done any maths because we're LGBT, so we can't do maths. So I don't know whether this will end up finishing before or after Halloween. But either way, we're going to try and keep the spooky ball rolling because we're two gay goths. If you guys have any suggestions of any kind of series that we... any series, does it sound right, that we can do following this, so following the Seven Deadly Sins, if you can think of anything that you'd like us to talk about, please contact us. I am Kitty Calders on Instagram, so that's at KittyCalders.
And best way to contact me is via Instagram. My Instagram name is Plague of Dom, PlagueOfDom.
Thanks for listening. Speak to you later. Bye.
Speak to you later. Bye.